For our New Testament reading, let us turn to the book of Romans, chapter 3. And I will be reading verses 9 through 26. Let us hear the word of God. What then? Are we better than they? Not at all, for we have previously charged both Jews and Greeks that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good, no, not one. Their throat is an open tomb, and with their tongues they have practiced deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursings and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. And the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ, to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God sent forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed, to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be justified and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. I want to welcome Matt Abitello to the pulpit this morning. And we appreciate your service to us.
Well, good morning. Happy New Year. It's good to be back here. I think it was either late January or February that I was here. And, much has changed since then, hasn't it? Much has changed in the world and also in our lives. So I wanted to give you just a brief update. As most of you know, I was here in February. We were presenting the ministry and planning, Lord willing, to go to Spain. And since that time, things have changed. And without getting to all the details between our church and our agency and our family, we have decided that that door has closed. And at this time, we won't be going, at least long term. We might have some opportunities for short term missions there. And I want to encourage you that your prayers and support of our ministry has actually been fruitful. And so even though we haven't been able to get there to Barcelona, it was very fitting today as I was driving here that I received a text message from the church planner that we were planning to work with, and they were holding their service tonight for the first time after the second lockdown. So imagine being a church plant. You just rent a place, and I can't remember if we had talked about it, but they had rented the Barcelona Olympic Chapel from the 92 Olympics. They held their first service, maybe they had two or three, and then the first lockdown came. And then they started up again, there was another lockdown. So praise God, today they're gathering to worship, and your prayers and support have been fruitful. And continue to pray for that church plant in Barcelona and the church in Spain. Well, even if a lot of things have changed in our lives or in the world, one thing is for sure: God has not changed, and that's good news this morning. And I'm excited to go through Psalm 36 with you this morning. And as David meditates about the human wickedness, but something much greater, the loving kindness of God, I want to meditate with you on that from Psalm 36. This is a short psalm, pretty short. It's only 12 verses long. But it really has this amazing contrast between that wickedness and the loving kindness of God. An amazing contrast, but even a more amazing message for us this morning. You know, it's kind of like weather in the Northeast. We can have a 50-degree day, warm, water starts melting on the roads and in the streets and the driveways, and then suddenly a wind can come up, changing direction, temperatures drop, and we can have black ice and 12 degrees in the evening. We have amazing contrasts in weather in the Northeast, don't we? Well, our psalm is a little bit like this, because there are these two big ideas. David describing the wicked humanity on the one hand, but on the other hand, he has this amazing description and speech of the Lord's loving kindness. So as I read the psalm, see if you notice these two contrasting ideas. Here is Psalm 36. To the chief musician, a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord. An oracle within my heart concerning the transgression of the wicked. There is no fear of God before his eyes. For he flatters himself in his own eyes when he finds out his iniquity and when he hates. The words of his mouth are wickedness and deceit. He has ceased to be wise and to do good. He devises wickedness on his bed. He sets himself in a way that is not good. He does not abhor evil. Your mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the clouds. Your righteousness is like the great mountains. Your judgments are a great deep. O Lord, you preserve man and beast. How precious is your loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of your wings. They are abundantly satisfied with the fullness of your house, and you give them drink from the river of your pleasures. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light, we see light. O, continue your loving kindness to those who know you, and your righteousness to the upright in heart. Let not the foot of pride come against me, and let not the hand of the wicked drive me away. There the workers of iniquity have fallen. They have been cast down and are not able to rise. Thus ends the reading of God's word. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for your word translated to us in our language. I pray that each one here would have open hearts to receive your word, to hear it, to accept it, and that it would bear much fruit to your glory. Lord, you, through your word, are present with us in a special way, and we ask that we would enjoy your presence now as we hear from you. And may we grow in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus' mercy and grace. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Did you hear the two contrasting ideas in the psalm? It almost comes out of nowhere. David lists a detailed description of the wicked and then suddenly starts talking to the Lord about his mercy and loving kindness. Now, originally, this was Hebrew poetry, of course, and luckily translated for us in English. It's a poem by David, it says, a servant of the Lord, and it was given to the church, as he says, it is for the chief musician. It's a poem with these two contrasting ideas. They come really with two different words or two different speeches, the one an oracle of transgression, the other speaking directly to the Lord. Now, these speeches are not in sequential order. In the poem, it doesn't say, David doesn't say, now I'm going to talk about the wicked, and then switch, and now I'm going to talk about God's loving kindness. Rather, as is common in Hebrew poetry, one of the speeches is on the outside, at the beginning and the end. And the greater idea, the greater one is in the center, the idea of God's loving kindness. So on the outside is this idea of wickedness, but then set inside that, right at the core, is God's loving kindness. And this is done to make it memorable. This is done to set the scene and to draw the hearer in to what is at the center and the core. So on the outside, coming first, is this talk of this transgression within the heart of the wicked. And you'll notice it speaks of it in the third person. It says, there is no fear of God before his eyes. And David gives this detailed description of wicked humanity, lacking the fear of God, which in your Bible you know is the beginning of wisdom. Lacking the fear of God, the wicked person deceives themselves that God doesn't care, that God doesn't matter. Deceives themselves that God doesn't care about evil, and they become blind to their sin. They don't hate it, they don't notice it. They go so far as to call what is good evil, and what is evil good. What's in their heart comes out in their words and their plans, lies and evil plans. They become obsessed with evil so much in this psalm. They even lie in their beds at night, thinking of how they'll get ahead or get even. There seems to be no concern for justice, for righteousness, or for God. And so David calls this state of a person, this group, to be the wicked. That's the description we have in verses 1 through 4. And then, all the way at the end, in verses 11 and 12, the same concept of the wicked comes back. In verse 11, with a prayer of protection from the wicked. And 12, a description of the destiny of the wicked. Did you notice that destiny? They have been cast down and are not able to rise. It's a terrible destiny. The bed where evil was planned at night seemingly becomes the end with no life and no light. It's a dark picture, but like that dark velvet behind the shining diamond in the jewelry store. We have something that comes shining out of this in the middle of our psalm. Inside of all that, at the center of Psalm 36, is the speech from David, the word about God's loving kindness. Suddenly now it changes to the second person. David addresses God directly. Your mercy, how precious is your loving kindness. Continue your loving kindness to us. One commentator said that this personified evil of the wicked speaks about God. David addresses God directly by name. And so the psalm has been given to the church so that we could reflect too on God's loving kindness. And such verse 7 becomes a key. How precious is your loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of his wings. Precious loving kindness. This idea of being precious, when you hear the word precious, you could think of a couple of different things. One, something could be precious, like a precious pet could be very cute. But it's this precious is not like the cute precious. It could be very costly, like precious metal. But the precious we're talking about here is not that. Rather, it's the kind of precious that means that it's of great value. It's not to be wasted. It's not to be treated carelessly. It's so great that it actually could be considered priceless. God's message to you this morning is about his precious loving kindness to those who trust in him. And the way we'll look at this is in three thoughts on how God's loving kindness is precious from this psalm. First, it's precious because of its source. It originates with a holy God in verses 5 and 6. It's precious because of its quality. It is a love of the highest degree of excellence in verses 7 to 9. And finally, God's loving kindness is precious because of its duration. It continues forever, verses 10 and 11. God's loving kindness is precious because of its source, its quality, and its duration. And then a final thought we'll have is how it is most fully realized, because God's loving kindness is most fully realized in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's consider first, God's loving kindness is precious because of its source. As soon as that speech turns to the second person, the first thing we see about loving kindness is its source. God's loving kindness is precious because it originates with a holy God, because it comes from a God of infinite goodness. Look again at verses 5 and 6. Your mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the clouds. Your righteousness is like the great mountains. Your judgments are a great deep, O Lord. You preserve man and beast. Now I said it comes from a source. What do we mean, boys and girls, when we say that something has a source? What if we say a river has a source? The Mohawk River just down the hill has a source. It doesn't start right here in Amsterdam, does it? In fact, the Mohawk River is about 149 miles long. The river's source is at the confluence of the West Branch and East Branch in north-central Oneida County, pretty far to the west of here, north of Rome, New York. And it's not as big as it is here. It starts small, and it gains more water. A lot of the water comes in at the Schoharie and all those other inlets along the way. But it has a source. Well, it turns out from what we learn here is that loving kindness, too, has a source. But it's not small at all. In fact, that source is the one true living God, the infinite God. In 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse 27, when Solomon is praying his dedication prayer at the temple, he talks about God's infiniteness. But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain you. How much less this temple which I have built? The text here speaks of God's infinite goodness by describing some of his character attributes in terms of their extent or their quantity. There's four attributes described in this section. Do you see them? Mercy and faithfulness in verse 5. Righteousness and justice in verse 6. However, the word for mercy in verse 5 is actually the same Hebrew word for guess what? That's also translated loving kindness. And so three times in this section, David writes of God's loving kindness. Okay, now there's something else about the poetry that's worth pointing out. Bear with the thought. This poetry is using something called merism. What it does is it's using contrasting words to refer to the sum total of something. Let me use an example. Imagine you're looking for that elusive TV remote control in the couch, or you think it might be, somewhere. And you say, I can't find it. I've searched high and low. You would know what that would mean, right? What does that mean? It means you've searched everywhere. The sum, everywhere, high and low. That's using a merism to say what you've done. That's the technique that's happening here in this psalm. So here are the four attributes. Are using this contrasting language, speaking of the heavens reaching to the clouds, the great mountains, but then the great deeps, the whole universe. It is a picture of infinite supply, an unlimited quantity of these attributes of God. God is a God of infinite goodness. And then he gives an example of how this is put into action in the world. O Lord, you preserve man and beast. Man and beast, another contrast. You preserve everything, all creatures. Our catechism question and answer 11 summarizes this idea in terms of God's providence. It says, what are the works of God's providence? And the answer, they are his most holy, wise, and powerful, preserving and governing all his creatures and all their actions. Taken together, this means that the Lord is infinitely good. His attributes are not limited in any way. And he's actively preserving all things in a faithful, right, and just way. You can trust in his sovereignty and providence in your life. Well, this is the source of the loving kindness, the triune God. That's where the precious loving kindness comes from. Doesn't this make you want to worship God? Brothers and sisters, you can be confident in your God of infinite goodness. In our fallen natures, we can get so discouraged, anxious, frustrated, impatient, acting unwisely, because of the wickedness around us, because of the wickedness within us. When you experience the transgression around you, you experience sin within you, think of this comparison. That wickedness is a drop in the bucket, but God's loving kindness is an ocean of infinite goodness. That wickedness is but a speck of dust. It's just a pebble compared to the mountains of God's grace. Think of that comparison and be encouraged. Be confident in your God. Fear him because his loving kindness comes from a source of infinite goodness. Now, if water comes from a contaminated source, how will that water be? Bad. But if the water comes from a fresh and pure source, it'll be of great quality. So it follows then that something coming from such a great source will be of great quality. So now turn your attention to the quality of God's loving kindness as you consider this thought. God's loving kindness is precious because of its quality. It's precious because it's a kind of love that is of the highest degree of excellence. It's perfect love that cannot fail. It's a love that perfectly blesses. It satisfies. Here again, verses 8 and 9. They are abundantly satisfied with the fullness of your house, and you give them drink from the river of your pleasures. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light, we see light. Have you ever thought about the quality of God's loving kindness? That it provides safety, it satisfies, abundant life and blessing. Now, maybe you've thought about quality when making a major purchase. Perhaps you were buying a car. We think about quality when we buy a car, don't we? We might buy a car from the most reliable manufacturer. We might want to purchase the one that has a reputation for quality. And yet that car, it will get old. It'll need service. Sure, it might be more reliable than other cars we've owned, but never perfect. But the quality of God's loving kindness is something to get excited about. It's always perfect. God's loving kindness toward you is based on who He is and the promise of His word to be faithful to you. It's based on a covenant love. It's a special type of love. It's kind of a hard word to describe. This Hebrew word, hesed, this mercy and loving kindness. In fact, it's hard enough to describe that almost every Bible translation uses a different phrase for it. It's almost like they decide which one they're going to use, and then they stick with it in their translation. So you might see steadfast love, loyal love, unfailing love, loving kindness like we have, and mercy. It is this whole concept of all of these things, really. This perfect, holy love. It's like the love of the best committed marriage. Again, Solomon at the dedication of the temple mentions this in that same prayer. Listen to verses 1 Kings 8, 23 and 24. Lord God of Israel, there is no God in heaven above or on earth below like you, who keep your covenant and mercy, there's the word, who keep your covenant and mercy with your servants who walk before you with all their hearts. You have kept what you promised your servant David, my father. You have both spoken with your hand as it is this day. At the building of the temple, at the dedication of the temple, Solomon thinks of the same title for David that he uses in this psalm, the servant of the Lord. And he talks about how this temple being dedicated is based on the covenant faithfulness and love of the triune God. In the text, in our text, we find God's gracious favor being applied to those that place their trust in Him. Did you notice it at the end of verse 7? Loving kindness for the children of men put their trust under the shadow of His wings. And reconciled to God, they're abundantly satisfied. They have perfect fellowship. In the house, they're sharing food and drink in God's house. And then there's this beautiful picture of drinking from the river of His pleasures. And this is actually a play on words in the poetry. If you heard it, you might recognize one of the words. Maybe you don't know them all, but you might hear this one. It would sound something like the river of your Eden, just like the Garden of Eden. This is a play on the words. The river of our pleasures sounds like the river of our Eden. And that same verb here, to drink, is also used back in Genesis 3:10, where God watered the garden right before the fall. And isn't it amazing that as David is using this idea of contrasting things to try to get to a great thing, that at the end of the Bible, we also read of a river, a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and from the Lamb. That's Revelation 22:1. From start to finish, this loving kindness of God is everywhere. It brings together the picture of the pre-fall paradise in Eden and the end times revelation of that new and eternal perfect paradise, the new heavens and the new earth. And so David can describe this quality of God's loving kindness as giving light and life, of being everything. The psalm teaches us that God's loving kindness is of such a high quality that it's like the experience of being with God in paradise. God is telling you this morning the experience of Eden, from which fallen humanity was exiled in Adam and Eve, may be enjoyed by the godly in fellowship with God. In our fallen natures, we don't want to trust this sometimes. We want to trust ourselves above all. We want to go on our own way, tempted like Adam and Eve to be like God, trying to create our own paradise. But in doing so, if we put other gods before us, we become idolaters. We put something else in the place of the true God who gives his loving kindness to his people. Put your trust under the shadow of his wings. Love him with all your heart, mind, and strength. This is how you will be satisfied and safe. Not only is God's loving kindness it's precious and so valuable, priceless, because of its source and because of its quality, but this idea of experienced loving kindness as being like in a paradise leads us to consider our final thought about loving kindness, and that is, God's loving kindness is precious because of its duration. Its duration. It's precious because it lasts forever. It continues for those that know and love him. Look at verses 10 and 11. David prays, "O continue your loving kindness to those who know you, and your righteousness to the upright in heart. Let not the foot of pride come against me, and let not the hand of the wicked drive me away." The picture here in this prayer is of something that is being continued, as in being drawn out before you, right in front of you, and just unfolding out in front of you. Imagine a highway, a straight highway going no turns, no hills, just straight over the horizon. The straightest road in North America is considered to be North Dakota Route 46, where it has almost exactly 120 miles of straight and almost flat road. If you see a picture of it, you can picture yourself driving in a car and looking at it, and it's just straight as far as the eye can see. 2 hours almost you could drive. Well, it'd probably be a little shorter, wouldn't it? Because you could make some good time on that road. 120 miles straight in front of you. David prays in verse 10. He asks the Lord, "Continue your loving kindness from now on for all of my life." That is, continue, extend and draw out in front of him your grace to live. Stretch out before me, O God, to the horizon of my life and let it keep going. And pay attention to the condition in this prayer. He says, continue your loving kindness to a special group of people. It says, those who know you, those who are upright in heart. This type of knowing is not just like seeing a story on TV about a famous person and say, oh, I know who that is. This is an intimate type of knowing. It's a personal knowing. It's a relational knowing. It's not just head knowledge, but it's a deep combination of knowledge and feelings. It is a knowing like knowing a close friend or perhaps a spouse. It's a close relationship where there is commitment and dedication and deep understanding. Those who know you, God. Do you know the Lord this way? Have you committed to being a disciple every day? Are you walking with him? David prays for this, and so should the church. In our fallen natures, we can be like Pilgrim in Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress. We can walk on the trail for a little while, but then we can get off course. If that's you this morning, come back to the Lord today. Stay on course with him this week. Let his character traits be yours as the Holy Spirit guides you to repentance and maturing faith. God calls you this morning to be upright in heart, for he extends his loving kindness before you. so much so that it's precious for its duration. It lasts forever. It's precious now and will be for eternity. And that's good news, not only for ourselves, but this should be something that should not only go before us, but it should flow out from us. Let God's loving kindness fill your heart and flow out to your family, to your friends, to your co-workers, to those one another in the church. It's not just something we experience and keep only within the church, though. It should flow out to those who do not yet know God, even his enemies. Our care and concern for those that we could identify as the wicked, it may be the thing that's used by God as a testimony to draw them to saving faith, to draw them into his kingdom. Well, this loving kindness is really amazing, isn't it? It comes from a perfect source. It's of the highest quality, and it lasts forever. But you know, it's not just a concept. It's not just a thing. It's real and personal and can be experienced. How? It's this. God's loving kindness is most fully realized in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's to be known and experienced as you are united to the Lord Jesus. We heard from our reading this morning in Romans, Paul actually quoted our psalm in Romans 3:18. And a little bit past that, in 3:23, it talks about how all have fallen short of the glory of God. All have sinned. Every one of us. We can't talk about the wicked category without putting ourselves in it. It puts all of us in the wicked category, doesn't it? Outside of Christ, we are all in that category. But there's good news. You can be delivered by trusting in Jesus Christ for forgiveness and eternal life. When David talks of being safe, feasting and drinking in the Lord's house, when David talks about seeing the light of God, he's writing about those who know God by faith. The New Testament is clear about those who know God. John 17:3 says, "And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." To truly know God in this way is to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. In John 12:44-46, with Jesus speaking, he tells us this: "He who believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And he who sees me sees him who sent me. I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness." Have you trusted God this way? If you haven't, repent and believe in the gospel of Christ. Turn from selfish, sinful ways and go to Christ. Recognize in yourself what verse 12 of our psalm calls workers of iniquity. Their end is to be cast down, unable to rise. But see how Jesus Christ went to the cross and was nailed to it. He was immovable there. He suffered and he died. But he conquered the grave, and on the third day he rose again from the dead, so that you could be free from the darkness of sin, to live in the light of God's love and holiness, to experience fully his loving kindness, to be united to loving kindness in the person of Christ. God's precious loving kindness is most fully realized in his precious Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, then I want to just conclude by reminding you to drink deeply from the well of God's loving kindness. It's precious and it's priceless. Do you remember the older credit card commercial campaign that used the catchphrase "priceless"? It's really one of the most successful and long-lasting marketing campaigns of all time, lasting at least 17 years. Do you remember the very first commercial in 1997? A dad takes his son to a baseball game. He pays for the hot dog, which has a price. He pays for the drink, which has a price. But the conversation, the experience of that game together is what? It's priceless. The conclusion in the commercial was that there's some things money can't buy. Some things are so valuable, they don't have a price. God's loving kindness is priceless. It's most precious. How precious is your loving kindness, O Lord? And so the Lord will return one day, or he'll call you to yourself, and you call him to yours, call you to himself, and you will lay your eyes on him. His loving kindness, seeing him face to face, and that wonderful vision will stretch out before you for eternity. Praise the Lord for his loving kindness toward wicked people, saved by grace through faith in Christ. So this week, remember, reflect on, enjoy God's loving kindness toward his creation, and especially toward you in Christ. Let it change the way you think and live. Let it change the way you relate to him and others. Let it change the way you read scripture. Let it change the way you worship, to give him glory for his loving kindness. Be filled with gratitude for his grace. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your loving kindness. You, the source, infinite goodness, the perfect quality, the fact that you come to us, humble yourself, lay down your life for us that we could have eternal life and forgiveness of our sins. Help us to meditate on this word preached today, to understand it and apply it as we have received it. Bless each one here today. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.